So there is this amazing word out there. It's a great word. It's a relatively new word as far as words in the English language go. Its first documented usage was back in 1986. Thereafter, it went underground for a couple years, and it popped back up again in the 90s. In the early days of the internet, where it found a little bit of use in chat rooms and on online discussion forums. But it wasn't really until 2014 that this word began to be taken seriously, and dictionaries recognized it as a legitimate word and began to include it in their published volumes. And then in 2016, in that gaffe-filled election year, this word really came into its own. It found widespread usage in the popular culture. I wonder if you've heard this word before. It's this word, cringy. Cringy, do you know this word? It means to be so awkward or embarrassing as to cause someone to cringe. To be so awkward or embarrassing as to cause someone to cringe. Now, the word cringy sets itself apart from the word cringeworthy in that if something is cringeworthy, there's some emotional remove there, right? You can regale your friends with a story about some social faux pas that either you or someone else committed, and you can laugh about it and say, ha ha ha, that was a moment that was worthy of a cringe, right? There's that emotional remove. But if something is cringy, if something is truly cringy, there's none of that emotional remove there, and it's hard to talk about even after the fact. And as a cringy moment is happening, you want nothing more than for it just to be over, just be done with it. If someone is saying something cringy to you, you're just sitting there thinking to yourself, stop saying what you're saying, stop doing what you're doing, stop being how you're being. Cringy, it's a great word.
It's true.
Now, I don't know if you picked up on it in this morning's reading, which was the entirety of Romans chapter 12, which is basically just a long list of qualities that the Apostle Paul is encouraging Christians to embody. And in typical Paul style, it is wordy and hard to follow, and he repeats himself several times. So I don't know if you caught this, but one of the items in Paul's list essentially condemns all those who follow Jesus to a lifetime full of cringy moments. Did you catch it?
You
guys weren't listening very well. So I'm going to run through a slightly abbreviated version of this list. This time, listen to see what is going to bring us into all those cringy moments. Here we go. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. Don't just pretend to love others, but really love them. Hate what is wrong and hold tightly to what is good. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of the lowly. Don't pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Never take revenge. And do not let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Did you catch it? It's a little disappointing, honestly. So, the one I'm, of course, talking about is that line, do not be too proud to enjoy the company of the lowly. Do not be too proud to enjoy the company of the lowly. Because here's the thing about lowliness. Lowliness, like beauty, is very much in the eye of the beholder. So the people that I consider to be lowly in the world may not be the same people that you consider to be lowly in this world. So if you happen to be rich, good for you. But maybe you look down your nose at people who are poor, right? Get a job already. And maybe if you're poor, maybe you look down your nose at the rich, you know, have a heart already. If you're an extrovert, maybe you look down your nose at introverts, you know, get out of your house once in a while, get some vitamin D. If you're an introvert, maybe you look down your nose at extroverts. Shut up already. The universe won't implode if you're not filling it with the sound of your voice. If you don't care about sports, maybe you look down your nose at people who are obsessed with sports. Get a real hobby. Get a life. And if you are a diehard Patriots, Bruins, Celtics, Red Sox fan, maybe you look down your nose at people who could care less about sports. Get out of my state. Move to somewhere with a worthless team like New York City, you know? Go somewhere where it doesn't matter. Lowliness is in the eye of the beholder, and who each of us, the kinds of people that each of us believe to be lowly, find to be lowly, are going to be a little bit different. But what unites all these various groups of lowly people is the fact that they are, almost definitionally, they are people that make us uncomfortable. Almost definitionally, lowly people are people who make us uncomfortable because they are not like us. They don't think like we think. They don't talk like we talk. They don't act like we act. They don't care about the same things that we care about. They make us uncomfortable. And so when Paul says that we should enjoy the company of those who are lowly, he is basically saying, go and interact with and engage people who are going to make you uncomfortable. It's not going to be easy. And it's going to be full of cringy little moments, says Paul. Well, he doesn't say that, but he's implying it. But go and do it. Go and interact with those who you believe to be lowly. Now, it is for this exact reason, in acknowledgement of this fact, that 3 weeks ago, when we were running our high school community service program, and we schlepped those 16 kids over to Cambridge to participate in the Friday Cafe for a long day of service. We were over there from like 11 till 5:30. It was 95 outside. It was like 105 in the hall where 150 folks were gathering just to eat and be in community. But in the orientation to that service experience, Reverend Kate Laser, the woman who founded the Friday Cafe and works as its director, she told us in our orientation that she wants us to be comfortable, she said, but she also wants us to be uncomfortable. And by that she meant she wants us to be comfortable. She wants us to feel physically safe, to feel generally respected as human beings. Seeing as we were a group largely of young women, she wanted to kind of ensure that there's no hashtag MeToo moments going on during our service over there at the Friday Cafe. But at the same time, she said, we want you to be uncomfortable. We want you to sit down with and get to know the homeless and struggling folks that come to the Friday Cafe week after week for food and for community. We want you to talk with folks that you normally wouldn't talk with. Folks who, if you saw them asking for money in Harvard Square, right, you would probably walk right by, if not pulling, you know, one of these numbers, maybe even going to the other side of the road. Those are the people we want you to talk to, and it's going to be uncomfortable. And she was right. It was. The kids did a great job. During the opening rush, we opened the doors at 1 over the Friday Cafe, and a flood of people come in the doors, and the kids were working at the donations table, handing out clothing items and toiletries, and there were groups at the food table dishing out soup and this and that, some people at the desserts table handing out cookies and cake. It was a good day. But then after that initial rush died down, the kids went and they got plates of food for themselves, and they went and they sat and talked to folks. And Sarah was there. She can attest to this. She was one of our chaperones. It was a beautiful thing to see, right? It was a truly beautiful sight. Yes, it was. But were there a lot of cringy moments over the course of the afternoon? Lord have mercy, you better believe that there were a lot of cringy moments. It turns out that the kids didn't know how to respond when someone came up to them and told them that he was a vampire, and then shared several of his vampiric visions with them. How does one respond in that situation? They didn't know. I certainly don't know how you respond. A little bit cringy there. The kids didn't know how to react when someone caught them in an impassioned 40-minute lecture on the virtues of anarcho-capitalism, if you know what that is. Again, I don't. But they learned. That was a kind of an awkward moment for them. And in the course of a 10-minute conversation with just one guy, and he made the same joke approximately, and this isn't exaggerating, about 30 times in a row, the kids didn't know whether they just kind of continue laughing or just ignore it or what to do. It got a little cringy there. But there they were, talking with people who they would normally consider lowly, interacting with them, engaging with them. And something amazing came out of that experience. Because at the end of our week, when those same kids filled out our program evaluations, and they were invited to let us know what their absolute favorite activity was through the course of the week. And over the course of the week, we've spent 60 hours working with all sorts of different organizations, doing all sorts of different projects. After doing all of those things, we went over to Wrightlock Farm and we played with goats and chickens. It was a great time. That wasn't their favorite thing. Across the board, these kids said that their experience serving at the Friday Cafe was their favorite experience. Now, unfortunately, this program evaluation did not ask them why it was their favorite, and I'm not sure exactly what answers they would have given. After a week with those teenagers, I have to admit that the teenage mind is even more mysterious to me now than it was before the program began. So I'm not sure what they would say, and they certainly wouldn't articulate it like this. But after having read Romans 12 together this morning, I can't help but wonder if what they experienced was that in engaging people they wouldn't normally engage with, interacting with folks that would normally make them uncomfortable, in enjoying the company of those, in the words of Paul, of those who are lowly, I wonder if they didn't tap into some of that deep joy and that deep goodness that is so much at the heart of the Jesus way. Because as a people whose faith, the center of whose faith, is a guy who was nailed on a cross, right, we know perhaps better than most that the deepest joy and the deepest goodness this world has to offer us does not come to us in the absence of discomfort, right? The cross is an extremely uncomfortable thing even to think about afterwards. But the greatest joy and the greatest goodness this world has to offer us actually comes in and through moments of discomfort. And I can't help but think that those kids were tapping into some of that deep goodness and that deep joy and that well of spirit that we in this church get to experience. And I hope at least that we know so very well. And so in closing, I want to offer you a blessing, recognizing that it may sound a little bit like a curse, but I'm going to throw it out there and we're going to see where it lands. So friends, may God bless you with many, many cringy moments, that your joyful moments may be all the more. Amen.